Welcome to the Big Careers Small Children podcast. My name is Ferina Hefti. I believe that no one should have to choose between becoming a CEO and enjoying their young children. For much too long, amazing people, like I'm sure you listening right now, have found themselves stuck on the career ladder when they have children. And that leads to gender inequality in senior leadership, because those people don't progress to senior leadership, and the same stale, often male, middle-class people leading our organizations. We must change this together, and I hope that many of you listening right now will progress to the most senior leadership roles that you like, where you can make the decisions that make our world a better place. Outside of the podcast, I am the CEO and founder of the social enterprise Leaders Plus. We exist to help working parents progress their careers to senior leadership in a way that works for you and for your families. We have free events and resources on leadersplus.org, where you can download helpful toolkits such as on returning from maternity leave, share parental leave, securing a promotion, dealing with workload challenges, or managing as a dual career couple. We also have an award-winning fellowship community, which is global, for working parents who have big dreams for their careers but don't want to sacrifice their family. You'll join an absolutely wonderful group of people, a very tight-knit, supportive group of parents who have your back. Together, you'll explore what your career aspirations are, and you'll get advice from senior leaders who are also working parents about how to achieve those aspirations. You'll get new ideas to combine your hopes for your careers with your hope for your family, and you are supported by people who are experiencing what you're experiencing yourself. I'm really delighted that a larger majority of our fellows have made tangible changes following the program, be that becoming more senior in their roles, working shorter hours, having better flexible working arrangement. They always impress me so much with the courage that they instill in each other to do what is right for them without apologizing for having a family or apologizing for wanting that top job. Details are on leadersplus.org/fellowship. In this conversation, Charlotte and I talk about how to deal with the pressures of what a perfect parent looks like, how to make sure that you still continue to progress your career, and her experience of thriving after a divorce. Enjoy the conversation.
Thanks, Verena, for giving me the opportunity to exchange with you today. So I'm Charlotte Boujassi. I'm French, as you may hear, but I've been in Munich for 10 years, where I work in a Japanese pharmaceutical company. And there I'm in charge of European talented leadership development. For my family, well, the family I have here in Munich is made of my two daughters, 11 and a half and 7.5, and my two cats, a mother and a mom. So lots of ladies in the apartment.
And what is one thing you used to believe about combining a big career with children that you don't believe anymore?
That maybe if you wanted to have it all, you could have it all. It's a bit more complex than that, I would say.
What advice, if any, would you give to your own daughters? What really, were there some decisions you made that really mattered, or advice that you are giving yourself now that is really helping you? I'm just interested because you thought you could have it all and now you can't. And yet from the outside, you're like, you look like someone who has it all.
Yes, thank you. Well, the thing is, I really don't want to feed into this superwoman myth, right? Because I've had tough times. Right now, we've been co-parenting with the father of my kids for 4 years in a very good manner, I would say. But of course, we've had our ups and downs. And I would say that what I can tell my daughters is always think ahead. Because my grandmother has reminded me many times, you were 15 and I was already wondering, how can I manage it all? And it has been worrying me for decades, because I always wanted to be a mother and I always wanted to maybe not have a career, but I was still ambitious to have something which was intellectually stimulating me every day. And I was looking around me and I couldn't see many women, or hardly any, who could find a balance. And yet, what I've noticed over the past years, especially being in Germany, where working mothers, full-time working mothers are an exception, is that sometimes we make decisions based on short-term needs or challenges. Typically, a daycare will eat once two-thirds of my salary, which was in my case. True. So it's better if I don't work because it's not worth it. Well, this last maybe 1 or 2 years, And if I had stayed at home, I would have had a wonderful time with my kids because I love being at home. I had a 1.5 year parental leave thanks to the wonderful German system for this part of the mothering. But it would have been much harder to go back after because I really gained experience, which was financially not worth it at all. But it would have made a short-term decisions. It would have made my life much easier for 1, 2, or 3 years. Nowadays, it would have made things harder. But of course, when you are into it, it's hard to know which battle to pick.
And are there any decisions apart from keeping going that led to you becoming someone at a director level? Were there any other key... I feel like I want to speak German to you now. You live in Germany, but I'm making this sign with my hands in other parts.
I'm French.
My French is not that great, so we definitely will not do this podcast in French. But were there any other decision points that really helped you to get to the director level that you're at now?
Quite a few. I think the decision to keep going, as you said, even in tough times, was really helpful. I want really to underline the fact that nobody succeeds alone. So when people ask me, oh, how have you done it? Well, I don't know how I did it myself. Maybe I'm a tough cookie somehow. Maybe I'm strong somehow, but nobody is strong alone. So when you ask me that question, I'm visualizing all the people on my journey who have been helpful and trusting me when others weren't. But I prefer to focus on this one and really to think without them, I would not be where I am. So I really think about Jerry Pico, who hired me in this pharmaceutical company 5 years ago, and he was one of the first in my journey, especially in Germany, who didn't ask me in the interview how I would handle my kid. And he gave me flexibility from the start, and so was the HRD, Antje Eidel, who hired me in this position. And I have an interesting journey as well, which can answer your question. I was feeling very comfortable in this environment where I had people around me who trusted me. I had full flexibility even before COVID. And with the German system where my kids are at home at 3, 4, 5 latest, this was massive. And so at that time, for different reasons, I felt my development opportunities were a bit limited, but I loved my job. I loved people I was working with. I loved the organization. And then I found a position on LinkedIn, also in a pharma, in a biotech. And actually, I love the pharma environment. So that was very important for me to stay there. And it was exactly the kind of position I wanted, associate director, learning and development. And it was my perfect next step. So I would be in charge of learning and development in a biotech. So leading a department, leading myself, because it's a small organization. And I just applied. And I applied without really wanting the job because I didn't feel capable of handling it. And then I had one position, one interview, and then a second one. And I said, oh, I really have a good feeling here. And I still felt incapable of managing it all. And I remember I had the final interview with the HR director at the time, Maria Castrezana. And I asked her at the very end, I said, you know, I really want this job, but I have 2 kids that I'm co-parenting every second week in this challenging German system. And if I don't have the flexibility to organize myself as I want, I don't mind working on the evening. I don't mind working on the weekend, but I really need flexibility from the start. And I said, okay, that's going to be a killer. And she said, I'm fine. I also know what it is to have two small kids in Germany. You have the flexibility, you have my trust. And I couldn't believe it, honestly. And I had to resign from a position that I loved to get this position, which was already a first leadership position, associate director. And funny enough, after 1.5 years, I came back to the previous company because suddenly my dream position opened there. So I'm back, but I wouldn't be director if I had not applied, even though I felt incapable, and if I hadn't met this amazing team and this amazing HRD who believed in me and who never challenged my capacity to deliver, even if I could not do a typically 9-to-6. So it's both work, being a bit bold, but being very lucky with the people you meet on your path.
Very inspirational, and even more so when you know the German system and you know actually flexibility is much less popular than in the UK even after COVID. When we met last time, we both shared, I guess, a little bit despair when talking about the pressures
that there are just from society on what a perfect woman is, you know, like the person, the yoga person who does lots of reading with their children. Obviously, reading is very good. I'm all supportive, but there is a lot of pressure on what a perfect mom is. And if you go to work, it's really hard to fit with that perfect mom image. Did you face these pressures? And if yes, how did you manage to ignore or get over them?
We talk a lot about social pressure or societal pressure. And honestly, I think it's a good way to avoid looking at ourselves. I think we put pressure on ourselves easily because I wanted to be a certain mom and I wanted to be a certain person at work. And I found it very difficult to do both. And I'm still kind of permanently, partly unsatisfied because sometimes I would like to do more here and more there. But because I love parenting and because I love my work. And I think you just need some time to let it go and also to turn deaf in front of people making nasty comments. I faced kind of lots of nasty comments. Or not, I mean, depends on what you call lots, but enough. But if you start listening to them, then you're done. There is a book I really, really love and which for me is very inspirational just for the title. I don't know if I can.
Oh, please share it.
I mean, I can share it here, but I'm just saying there is a bad word, there is a slow word in between. So cut it if you need it. It's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. So bad word is said. You can cut it if you want. But I think this has really inspired me to say, okay, where can I influence? Can't I influence? And how I have to make choices for myself, even if some people are not supportive, because I prefer to focus my energy and partner with people who are supportive. We are not alone. There are other people. And sometimes the sponsors can be also men and can be also women without kids and can be your parents or can be friends, you know. But you can choose to focus on people who are being negative, or you can choose to focus on people who can be really your network of go-to people.
It's incredibly inspiring to hear you talk like this. And I love that you said before this call that you want to show how it is really in the real life, not just the perfect image. Can you share one of your lowest moments of combining a big career with children and what you've learned from it?
One thing, because I've listened to several episodes of your podcast, it's a lot about having kids and managing a career. I didn't have a career when I had kids. I had my kids pretty young for my generation. I think it made it quite easier for the parenting side because I never had to manage high responsibility and small kids. Now that I have a bit of responsibility, I have a 11 years old, almost 12, who, okay, pretty teenager, but she's really a good kid. So I've trained her, I've briefed her, and she's receptive because some kids less receptive, but she was receptive to you go home, you start your homework, you prepare your stuff for tomorrow, you do your shower, and then you can watch TV. But she can do that now. And the small one, she can just, you know, have a shower alone. She's just emptying the Starnberger See, like one of the lake, each time she has a shower. Here, I'm not parenting in a sustainable way for the environment, sorry, but sometimes it's just 10 minutes that I need to finish my emails. And so I think it makes it easier. If I had small kids just being like a koala with me while I have my last call, that would be much more complicated. But do I have some low moments? Yes. And I can share, I mean, maybe one of the cutest story. I hope I don't get too emotional here. So I took this job that I have now in June, and there were lots of pressure. I mean, we were picking some process in the middle. We needed to make it work. It's a European role. We need to really bring people together. So there were some pressure. And honestly, it was a time where my two girls, like two siblings, you know, they were arguing a lot. I couldn't stand it. Awful after a day of work. It's a normal thing if you are calm, but I was not calm, so I couldn't stand it. And I must say, sometimes gentle parenting was a bit neglected. So, and it happened a few times that I said, "You girls, I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have reacted like that, but please try to behave. Mommy's stressed. It's going to get better. I need to find a way, but please stop doing that. But I really apologize. I shouldn't have reacted like that." Okay, so these first month pass, things get better. I found a balance because this is also always a midterm goal for me, find a balance. I know it's tough when you take a job as a first month. And then there was an evening this last autumn where my little one, she did something. I can't remember what, but I clearly overreacted. And she looked at me, and because I had explained so many times, Mamia has a bigger role, she has responsibility, I'm a bit stressed, please let me alone. And this moment where I overreacted after a few months of being calm again, she looked at me and said, Mom, are you okay? Are you having stress at work? The mom in me wanted to cry. And the person working in leadership development said, whoa, tough girl. Wow. You know, you don't get yourself impressed by someone who has emotional and authority on you. And even when being, I wouldn't say screamed at, it was also not that level, but you can find the empathy in you. So I said, maybe I'm still doing something good in this parenting.
She sounds amazing. What a mature young person and clearly very loving. Wow.
Yeah, so this was very low and then very, I said, oh, yeah. Maybe she gets a bit of me, you know, in my good moments.
I read some research. I need to find the citation and put it in the show notes. It's apparently for girls, it's really positive to have working mothers, and it has positive impact on their career and self-esteem, and clearly the way that your daughter seems to be responding to you just show you what an incredibly mature young person.
I'm still emotional about it because, wow, I was impressed and I was speechless and I could just say, you're right, you're absolutely right. Mama has stress at work and sorry for overreacting.
Clearly, she should be running the leadership development programs. You sound great.
She has some leadership skills, but she needs to be gentle a bit because when I see how she talks to her dolls when she's teaching, it needs to run right away. The growth and development is still developing.
My daughters are the same. It's so funny to watch them with their dolls. You can see what they see as leadership and how they dream.
Absolutely.
You have a bit of hindsight to the whole journey of returning from maternity leave. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, with hindsight, is there anything that you would do differently in that really intense transition point?
So in Germany, I could take 1.5 years. So for 1.5 years, I was at home. And it was the second time, the first time I was in France. And I personally loved being at home. And there is much debate in Germany and in France about what is the right time to stay at home and what is the right time to come back. There is no such a thing as a right time. When I left and I told my boss in Germany, I'm going to take 1 year. She said, are you sure? Maybe I give you a call in a few months and you tell me if you want to take more. Which I think would, in terms of psychological safety, was brilliant. And in France, when I was telling my friend who still didn't have babies, I'm going to take 1 year, I said, 1 year? What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to be so bored. Now that they start having kids, they have a different discussion. There is no one way to do it right. First, I want to say that I really also admire stay-at-home moms because they don't have it easy. I think it's completely underrated and it's a full-time job. When it comes to practical advice, especially for people who are a bit higher and who have maybe more money than I had at the time, really don't spare on extra help. Sometimes people look at the salary and say, oh my God, but everything goes into childcare, could be also, you know, having a cleaning lady, having a night nanny, and I was not in a position to pay for that help, but sometimes people make the wrong calculation at this moment. If you want to make it work and to feel good at work and to feel good at home, it's nice to have someone helping, and someone helping doesn't mean you stop doing anything with your kids, but maybe you focus on the bad activities that you value, like reading a book or doing a puzzle or doing anything. But for me, the worst part when I came home was when I was alone with 2 kids, my work, which I had to work, to rush, having to prepare the bath and having to cook pasta. That was a nightmare. And a nightmare that, of course, many women go through. But if you can afford to have some help in this moment and not to feel like crap at work and then crap at home, then that's better because then you are very focused with your child and you can focus on having the bath with them and having maybe someone doing something else. And if you don't have the finance to do that, then I was in this situation. Maybe be more proactive when people ask you, what do you need? I have a friend, and I'll give you an example. I have a friend who had 3 kids in one year. Little surprise. So 1 and then 2, 13 months after. As you can imagine, it's quite challenging. And what she asked, of course, a participation to the stroller, but when we had the baptism, what we proposed to actually offer was a 3 nights of night nannies. And lots of time people offer teddy bears, like lots of teddy bears, lots and lots and lots and lots. And maybe when people ask, they are to say, hey, can I have like maybe a check or participation to a cleaning lady or to whatever support you may need, because this is what makes things easier, especially when you go back to work and especially when you go back to work shortly after giving birth in systems like the French one. I can't say about the UK. I'm not really sure what is happening there.
I think anytime you go back to work, that is such good advice. And I love this baptism gift idea of night nannies or whatever that person needs. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
You also went through a divorce, you mentioned earlier, and that's obviously a very intensive time emotionally. And I was wondering, when you were at work, how did you manage to be your best at work, even though there was all this other stuff going on in the back of your mind?
Good question. If you add one more challenging point, that was during COVID. So I was partly not at work. And I think it was basically challenging for the both of us. You know, it always take two to do dance tango or to get divorced. It was tough. Two things. First, it was a period where we had to be very creative at work. I was supposed to launch a program, a talent program across Europe. And suddenly we couldn't meet face to face. We had to redo the whole thing. So, you know, I think it's a question of personality and maybe of education. I don't know, because really I'm not a superwoman, but you know, when I was getting emotionally very sad or very overwhelmed, then I said, okay, let's work more on this. In the work that I do, you can always choose to work 80, 100, 150%. And it was a period where we managed to actually agree with my former partner on a 50-50 model. And it worked quite well from the start. And it allowed me from in this moment, you know, where I didn't have the kids. And he's a very good father, I must say. So I could really trust him with the kids. And then I could really focus on work. And I worked. And this is the moment where I started getting one promotion and then taking another job. And so it was for me either like that or honestly, I crash, get into burnout, and this is over. But we find a good way to work with my former partner. This is the first thing. Then, yeah, interesting task. And again, a wonderful management team, I must say, who was completely supportive.
And in your own leadership style, do you think being a parent changed you as a leader?
Oh, yes. I became a parent way before becoming a leader. Actually, I currently have my first official leadership role managing a person. But I think I was very black and white before. You know, this idea of what I said at the beginning, if you really want to have a career and kids, you can make it work. I was pregnant at 25, thinking, yeah, that baby was were just sleeping and eating. So after 2 months, like a superwoman, like a typical French superwoman, I would go back to work and it would be everything fine and easy because a child is only eating and sleeping, as we all know. And then things, of course, were a bit more challenging. So it took a bit of time. And then managing work, and I actually ended up being the mummiest person ever. So I didn't think I would love being a mommy so much. And so then I was really thinking, okay, how to make it work? And then I faced people who were really helpful. And again, some people who were less helpful. And I actually learned a lot from both. But if I had not experienced the struggle of being a mother, loving going to work, but actually from one or two, I was actually counting down the time. And I was loving being there, but I was looking forward to seeing my baby again. I think, yeah, I would have lost lots of empathy and capacity to understand what people go through. And I remember during COVID, we were still allowed to go to the office from time to time. And then we were encouraged to go to the office. And who did I find at the time at the office all the time? Was the young fathers, because they had to escape from the tiny Munich apartment to get some calm and chill. And then I always had a conversation about how is it going? How is the sleep? You know, I guess that when you come back, your partner must be willing to give you the kids, you know, directly in the arm, like, your turn. Yes, yes. Just an advice. Never say, I need a break. Your break is a commuting time. Just one advice from a woman perspective. And it always, you know, engage a conversation in a way with men and women, you know, where they feel, I know what you're going through. You know, I know. And the way I lead or I do stakeholder management is all about what people are also going through. So it's really a holistic view of the person, not we are here from 9 to 5. We have a few tasks to do. Let's do them. No, it's for me. Okay, how are you? How do you feel? Is there anything? And it goes beyond parenting. Yeah? And this is for me, which is very important. First, it's not only about women. It's about parents in general, because you have lots of men struggling. And I would say men even have more challenges sharing their troubles. And then you have people caring for the elderly parents as well. You have people going through IVF treatment. It's still a big, big, big taboo. And I was, I've been surprised sometimes how people talk to me and then tell me, oh, that's the first time I talk about that in a professional environment. So it's completely changed me, but I was not a leader before. It just allowed me to approach leadership with a much more open-minded way that I used to be before having kids.
You come across as incredibly supportive of other working parents, mothers and fathers. And one thing I've been thinking about recently is those people who are not going through, let's say, the parent experience or the disability experience, whatever it is, how do we somehow get those people as engaged, supportive? You know, your study in your previous job was unbelievably supportive and
yes,
referenced her own experience of having young children. What can we do to make everyone really supportive? Because we can't send them on I can't send them a blog post. There's something that needs to change in terms of the outlook.
You know, it is a question about having kids or not having kids. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sorry, maybe I'm returning the question back to you here. Do we really need to have everyone as engaged, or do we need to make sure that the one who are know each other and you know, develops this network of supporting people? Because sometimes, you know, it's not about doing something specific. It's just about being able to vent, you know, saying, I didn't sleep. You know, it was awful. She woke me up 3 times. And if we do that, I know it can happen, especially if you are around people who don't have kids, because maybe they are too young, not interested, or maybe they had the pain of not being able to have kids. You know, we have lots of people like that and we don't really know their reality. So I think we also have to be a bit sensitive in sharing our challenges. What I would like to see is seeing parenting and working as something normal, not better, not worse, and not working and parenting, not better than worse and working and not parenting, but seeing as one of the challenges we have in life. And if I have a colleague who may not have kids and is caring for a parent, which is also a very challenging thing, and more women are doing both, you know, caring for parents in their 40s, 50s, caring for parents, caring for kids, then I think it's our responsibility to be, you know, to be empathetic and open-minded. But maybe let's not lock ourselves in our motherhood or parenting bubble, because it's important to keep an eye on what is going on elsewhere. Because as much as we have challenges, my kids are my biggest joy, the most rewarding work ever, and the most challenging. But I have my kids. And again, I mentioned this topic because I know a few friends who have gone through IVF, some successfully, some not. And I was in the case actually a few years ago where I knew that someone was going through IVF treatment, a colleague. And when I learned that I was pregnant with my second one, before telling anyone, I went to see her and say, you know, by the way, I just want to let you know that I'm pregnant and I know it can be hard for you, but I just wanted to let you know before so that you get prepared. And she sent me, and by the way, after a few months, she got pregnant too as well. So it was a nice ending story. But even in our challenging moment, we still need to be careful with people around. We don't know their stories.
Couldn't agree more. I think there is something about shaping the normal, though, so that everyone can feel that they don't have to hide. Sometimes in some organizations, you feel like you have to hide being a working parent, or you're feeling guilty if there's something unexpected, like school calling saying your child vomited, yes, please pick them up right now. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep thinking about how to do that. If any of the listeners are really interested or experts in how to change what is normal, I would love to hear from you and have a conversation.
I think in this podcast, from what I've seen, is that you have lots of people who are already quite high in the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And I would really say that the higher you go, the easier it becomes. And for those who have the luck, who are lucky enough to have this, let's say, leadership position of this secure or safe environment, it's our responsibility to make this a normality. So, you know, it happened, you know, many times that I said, by the way, it's 1 or 2, I need to go because welcome to Germany, the dance class is Wednesday at 3, you know. And then I just openly say it. I'm not saying, okay, bye, see you tomorrow. I'm saying, I'm going to pick up my kids because there is dance class. And if somebody thinks, oh, she could pay a nanny, well, that's their opinion. But I think for everyone around who may think about having kids, you know, the younger generation, it's important they know, hey, you know, it's a normal thing. And then I'm also very open. I actually have in my signature a little note saying I'm working very flexibly to accommodate my kids' schedule. Please note that I don't expect any answer or interaction outside of your normal working hours. Because let's be honest and transparent here, it's not about I leave at 2 and that's over. No, I work full-time and more than full-time. It means that when I'm at work 100%. And sometimes people experience me as a bit hectic and going super, super, super fast. The only language in which I speak slowly, and by the way, I hope I don't speak too fast, is German, because I actually speak German, good enough for a French person, but not completely fluently. And so the downside is I'm extremely focused, extremely fast, which can be challenging for people. And I work, you know, if at 7:30, when I've prepared the midday lunch or whatever for the kids, I get something on my Teams, then I answer it at 7:30. And if I get something at 8, because we are working now a bit with Japan and the US, then I also answer it. And if Saturday, when I don't have my kids, I still have some work because I couldn't do everything when I had my kids because of the dance class, French class, etc., then I work on Saturday. You know, it is a give and take. Huh? And people need to know whether they are fine with that, because I talked with my sister who said, no, I don't want to open the laptop after 5. I really don't want to do that. And this is completely fine. But you cannot have it all exactly the way you want at the same time.
Mm. Well said. I'm really hoping that this podcast is not going to exist anymore in the next 15 years. I'm hoping that generally we have equality in senior roles. Can you imagine if all organizations, you have 50% women, you have in parliament 50% women? But I think we need massive change in how work is set up for that to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in your emerging thinking. How do you think the world of work will change to get us to this place of equality? Or do you think it will change?
The thing is, I also see it's very interesting when you look at the German case, because people are complaining. I see lots of parents complaining, and that for sure it's challenging. And yet I can tell you that my kid got into a public kindergarten for 2 years. There were 100 places for kids, and it was officially open until 4:45. So compared to French standard, you would say, oh my God, how do you do it? Well, believe me or not, when I was picking up my kid between 4:30 and 4:45, there were only 3 to 5 kids left out of the 100. So sometimes I think it's about the structure, yes, but not only. I think, you know, if people want to have a good life and work less and maybe not have leadership position, I think more and more people don't want to have leadership position. I think we should accept it absolutely. Now, how do we make it work for people who want to have both? And what I'm just saying is that maybe we won't reach the 50-50 because some people are really enjoying being at home or part-time working, and this is completely fine. For those, I think we have really a responsibility to make our minds evolve, especially when it comes to talent identification, which is a bit my area. What I've been seeing in the past 15 years going through really big companies, aeronautical sector, semiconductor, now pharmaceutical, it's not an obvious discrimination. What happens is that the identification of potential first-line leaders is usually happening between mid-20s and mid-30. And this is exactly when women, and here I'm insisting it's women, are having kids. And the problem is often when you look at talent identification, it's not about a process where people say, I don't want to have women. There are some cases of discrimination, but I've never seen any direct ones. What happens is that when people think about, oh, who could be the next one? If the person is in mat leave or parent leave longer, the person is not visible. So it requires from our side in HR and the leadership some effort to make sure that we don't forget people who are out of our sights. And I really think this is the first step, and then make sure that we keep this flexibility and we trust our people to do the right thing. Because the thing is, we can't feed the pool of people to become executive if we don't make sure that we feed the first pool of high potential for first line leader role, because you can't become a director if you have not been identified as potential first line leader. So it's really about having this proactive policy of reboarding after being out and having this open conversation, making sure that we do everything to help young parents to make it work, and also create a safe space to vent the challenges, because sometimes just venting about a bad night is enough. Just having someone ask you the question, how are you today, is enough. Is there anything I can do to come back to work easier, can be enough. And the second thing for me, longer term, and I'm very surprised about the latest development, is the home office and the flexibility. I'm completely an office mouse. I love being in the office. But how am I supposed to work full-time and more than full-time, be in the office more than full-time, single parenting half of the time, two kids in a system where at the very latest at 5, but like 5 is late, I have my two kids at home. Absolutely impossible. So right now, as I said, I have an amazing company where we have flexibility and we are asked to go to the office. But for me, it makes sense. You know, I'm in leadership and talent development. I need to be there for the program. I need to be there to talk to people. But when I see around us that there are more and more companies asking full-time to come back full-time, it's like 3 steps back. Because when you're parenting, and you're parenting, it's caregiving in general, because I don't want to make that only about parenting. Let's say caregiving, you cannot possibly work full-time and be visible if you have this care work at home. So here we need to be very careful. I don't want to polarize the debate because, you know, I think there are some pros and cons. But yes, it requires very careful leaders and people who think it through, instead of applying dogmatic rule of only hybrid or only in the office.
I agree.
I think we need to be pragmatism. And what I'm seeing now is a lack of pragmatism. Not at my situation. I'm extremely lucky again. But what I see on LinkedIn sometimes is a bit worrying. And in terms of diversity inclusion, this is not the right way to go.
And it creates really strong emotion, which if you are an employer and want to attract people, it's not helpful if people feel very angry because of a hybrid arrangement.
Absolutely.
We're coming to the end of our conversation. And I would like to ask you to give one or two practical things that our listeners could do this week to increase their chances of progressing their career happily with young children in tow.
Thanks for this question. I think one aspect is that, and I think you talk a lot about perfectionism with other guests. I think especially as women, we are raised to be good girls, right? To do everything right and to expect that we're going to get a medal and a promotion if we are doing the work perfectly. And this is not how it works. Career management doesn't work like that. It's about relationship. And some people will call that politics, but I call that stakeholder management. It's a big difference. So when you have young children, you have little time. And I know that in this time where I had 2 young kids at home, I was doing less networking and less stakeholder management. This can work for a certain time. But don't let it slip for too long, because this is how career progress. It's not about discrimination. It's about being visible. Why? Because when people, senior leaders, have to fill a position, they have so much on their heads. These people are getting 300, 400 emails a day. They want a quick solution. What is a quick solution? Somebody they know, somebody they trust. And how do you create trust? By spending time with people. So if there is one advice I could give, do your task as you are required to do. You don't need to be perfect in your task, but don't give up on people. Because people, and this is a very famous sentence, right? People will forget what you did. They will never forget how you made them feel. So don't forget the stakeholder management part. This is crucial, and this is something which will stay long-term.
Well said. Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. Where can people find out more about you, your company, or anything else where you would like to direct them?
Just connect with me on LinkedIn. So Charlotte Boujassy, I have an interesting name, Boujassy. And Charlotte is like the Princess Charlotte. Very easy.
Wonderful. Very helpful for our UK listeners as well.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Verena. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. And I always love to hear from our listeners. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just go to Verena Hefti and I'd be delighted to hear your feedback and your suggestions, or just have you say hi. Likewise, if you do feel passionately about gender equality and you want to support a female-led podcast, then please do leave a review.
and share it with a friend, just because at the moment podcasting is still a very, very male dominated environment. Most of the top charting podcasts are led by men. I really love all the people who've joined from the podcast or fellowship program. And if you want to do the same, then please head over to leadersplus.org/fellowship in order to get access to a community of support to help you combine an ambitious career with young children together with people who have your back. See you next week.